You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of Ravens Weekly, brought to you by myself, Matt Hall, and my co-host Josh Tindall. Josh, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good.
Josh is doing very well, particularly because we've got not two, but three people sat around the table here this afternoon. The other one is Community Operations Officer Alex Caroma, who makes a return to the podcast. Alex, how are you?
Oh, back and better.
Good. Well, you're going to be coming in very shortly for our community corner section because I think people are a bit tired of the sound of my voice talking about...
I do get complaints.
My main role is head of community, so Alex is part of my team and is a very vital part of that team, let me add. So I think it's timely that we've got Alex on the podcast today to talk about all the amazing things that the Community Trust are up to, just so it looks like I'm not really talking it up myself too much, you know, because we are amazing. Right,
we
Alex?
We are
a shining light, you know, and that's just what it is. I'm going to leave that one there. But anyway.
It is. It's the best part of the club, I think.
Oh,
the
you're community too kind. Trust.
Too kind, Josh.
I'll give you that fiver later.
Right. Cheers.
Anyway, we are, well, we do have to start with a slight apology. It's a slightly shorter podcast today. Now, I think it's fair to say the last episode went down very, very well indeed.
Thank you, Callum.
Thank you, Callum. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, everyone. For making
Thank you. Thank you, Bromley FC.
Thank you, Bromley FC.
Just thank you.
And the Hayes Lane Stadium. Thank you to everyone around
Ronin the Raven, thank you.
Well, I think we're going... definitely Ronin the Raven, far. But I think we won't go any further than that now. But of course, Ronin the Raven is a club legend. And he'll be out and about at the match tomorrow. Do come and say hello. Have a picture. Give him a high five.
Yeah.
Max Mooner, the commercial assistant, is just
peering
round the corner at us there.
Hello, Max.
And yes, Max, we are recording and you have got a shout out. Big up Max Mooner from the commercial team.
Max, give us a whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Give us a, it's match day eve.
Match day eve, boys.
Yeah.
Looking Cheers, Max. Very suave, I must say, in the club tie. And the
he always
shirt.
Does.
It's very nice. But anyway, I digress. this podcast is not as long. I think we were 90 minutes last
week. It's probably going to be long now because we've dragged this out for
five
minutes.
The longest intro. I think this intro might be as long as last week's.
Alex
episode.
Is falling asleep in the chair.
Alex, wake up. There we go. Anyway, this won't be quite as long as last week. We have decided to let the players be this week because we've got, in all seriousness, Josh, we laugh and joke, we have got a massive game tonight.
He's big.
Which we're going to come on to later. We do catch up with Andy Woodman and, of course, our regular Roy Remembers section. But, of course, last week's episode, thank you all so much for your amazing feedback. We've had so many kind comments. Josh gets all the complaints, so I'll let him deal with that. But yeah, it's been fantastic speaking to you all at the games and having messages and you know, people writing into us just saying how much they've enjoyed it, and that's why we do it at the end of the day. And we really enjoy doing it.
I really enjoy it.
It is the highlight of the week.
I didn't think I would. No offence, but obviously Jeff used to do it.
You didn't think you would because you'd have to sit with me. And look how much fun you're having.
I sit with you anyway, though.
You
I sit opposite you every
you just
day.
You gravitate towards me.
I do, yeah.
There we go.
It's because I look up to you, Matt.
Enough said.
That's why.
Enough said. Father figure right here.
It is. Know? It's a little bit.
Hang on, I'm not that old, really.
Don't know.
We'll move
I mean,
on
your music taste is quite old.
My music taste is. Well, I think I've got a varied music taste. Anyway, I don't think the listeners want to know about
foreigner.
My music taste. Bit of foreigner, you can't.
When that
a
comes
foreigner.
On in Broomfield,
oh.
Honestly,
you know, I want to know what love is. Wait for a girl like you.
What love is.
Wait for a girl like you. It's brilliant. I love it.
Good.
But anyway, away from my music taste, which I'm pretty sure nobody actually cares about, and on to the football. So, of course, we had two very long trips, Josh, didn't we? And actually, travel issues for yourself on Saturday, wasn't it? To Gateshead, I think you had a train cancelled.
Yeah, usually I go with you or, you know, find my own way there and, yeah, decide to go on the train and it got cancelled. But luckily just jumped on the next one and, yeah, happy days.
You got up there. It was a mega bit of travelling. I don't know what time, I know you stayed. Did You stayed. No, you didn't stay up north, did you? On Saturday, you came back down, didn't you?
Well, I came back down only as far as Lincoln, and then stayed at Lincoln, right, and then came back.
Got you. It was a long day of travelling, and the team, of course, went up on the Friday, stayed overnight, and played on the Saturday. And actually, one of the most complete away performances of the season, I think.
It was good. It was good. I think the first half, obviously, it was a bit shaky, but we just played so well in the second half. And Gateshead just they looked tired, and I don't think they recovered from going to Eastleigh. And yeah, we just capitalised on it, and yeah.
You mentioned Eastleigh. They went to Eastleigh, to put it one way, and smashed five goals in.
Yeah.
They were the top form team in the division at the time of the visit to the Gateshead International Stadium for Bromley. And Bromley came away with a comfortable 3-0 victory. First half, Josh, I think was quite a competitive first half. The second half, different story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, both teams played well, and we both had our chances. And I know... can't remember who it was. Was it Dinanga that nearly scored right at the end of the first half? And obviously,
how didn't he score?
I know. I was bracing myself for it. So, but then obviously it was a weird start to the game because they had a sub sent off.
Who hadn't even come onto the pitch yet. Sent off from the bench, a substitute player.
Alex is looking confused. Worries.
Alex, have you ever seen that before?
No, first time. No.
Yeah.
Have you ever been sent off from the bench?
No.
Have you ever been sent off?
Don't get sent off, player me.
Well behaved.
Yeah, well, he works for the trust, doesn't he? So
he does, of course. We only
got to be a role model.
We only have brilliant people working with us.
You can't be coaching kids and then get sent off on the side, can you?
Well, the Gateshead substitute did get sent off from the bench. We couldn't quite identify what for. Right. But anyway, that half-time break, you said it after the game, Josh. Whatever Andy said during that half-time break, well, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. We were really good.
We swept them aside second half, and it was goals from Corey Whiteley, Ryan Sturck and Louis Dennis that sealed the 3-0 victory. And Louis Dennis has kept up a ridiculous vein of form against Gateshead. He has been scoring against them since the season we were promoted into the National League, both home and away, and I think that was his third or fourth goal. Fourth goal, I think, at the Gateshead International Stadium.
I think he scored eight times against Gateshead.
It's incredible.
Overall. Shout out to Jill for sending that over.
Yes, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And really pleased for Ryan Sturck as well to get his first goal. And it's funny because Andy Woodman said pre-match that he wanted him to add goals to his game.
That's the only thing he's missing. Yeah, that was the only thing he was missing. And now he's done it. He's a complete player now.
He certainly is. And what a signing that's proved to be, by the way. Absolutely phenomenal. And I'm really pleased for Corey Whiteley as well. Yeah. And what a well-worked goal that was, Josh, particularly with Harry Forster, who was my man of the match, being so involved in the build-up with Corey himself, who then finished it off.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the right place at the right time again, and that's just what he does. He's a finisher, he creates goals, he's that player that you just want in your team every week.
Well, it was a very successful afternoon at the Gateshead International Stadium in some fantastic weather conditions, I must add. The pitch was fantastic, and I have to say, I have to give Gateshead FC a shout out here. The welcome that you and I and Dylan Clinton, the photographer, received was exceptional.
Really good, and I know Andy said in the week, he said, you go up to that part of the country and they're the nicest people, and yeah, even walking around Newcastle before the game, it was just, you get a different vibe from being at in a place like that. And then as soon as we got to Gateshead, we were just, very welcomed in. And
got a little drinks voucher, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really get that.
No. Got myself a 7-Up.
But then we don't really offer that either.
Keep the vocal cords oiled during the commentary. There we go. None of this. Commentary. it's been known to happen before.
I think, didn't you do that at Wembley, but when you were reading the teams out? I swear there was a... Number 13, Ellery!
There might have been. There might have been. But still, what an experience that was.
See, we've linked it back to Wembley.
We have somehow. Well, and actually, there's another link to Wembley here because both Gateshead and Halifax, of course, have progressed to the FA Trophy final and will face off at Wembley Stadium for the trophy that has just had our name engraved on it in the past few days. And unfortunately, those of you who have been to Hayes Lane will notice it is no longer here. I did return it personally to the Wembley Stadium headquarters of the FA a few weeks ago. We didn't want to trust a courier to take it. No. So I took it myself, drove into the stadium and all that, It was quite a weird experience, quite emotional having to hand it over. But our name is going to be engraved on it now, which will be nice. And, of course, an everlasting part of the history of the trophy. Moving on then to the other finalists of the FA Trophy. And that, Josh, was Halifax. It feels like we have been to the Shea Stadium so many times and actually not seen such an awful lot of football, really.
Well, yeah, that and the fact that I keep forgetting when we play Halifax away because the amount of times it gets called off last season and this season, and it's just like, I can't believe, like I said to you when we were there, I can't believe we're finally here. We're here.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, we were there, and it's fair to say, looking at the game in the first half, not really at the races as much as Halifax were, and they took a deserved lead through Rob Harker on 20 minutes, a training ground goal. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
They were brilliant, to be fair, that first half. They were all over us, and they deserved to take the lead. And that Malenik Ali as well, what player.
Yeah, he looked very, very good indeed. And Capello as well, absolutely outstanding display from him. And I really rated him when he played at Hayes Lane here back in November, in which was another one-all draw, which leads us on to the equaliser in the second half.
The cheek equaliser.
Very good from you.
You like that, Alex?
I like that one.
We love that.
Little chuckle from the audience there.
There we go. Have we got any canned laughter?
No.
No, we don't.
I feel like that'll belittle us a little bit.
Have we got canned laughter? Well, no one's laughing at us anyway, so we might as well have something laughing at us, even if it's a machine. Yeah. I'm pretty sure no one's applauding us as well.
Sure, I'll Google some non-copyright.
Yeah. Can we get that for the next episode, please? I think that's a good laugh. Pardon the pun. Anyway, moving on back to Halifax then, and it was Michael Cheek, as you said, the cheekaliser in the 75th minute. A really simple finish for Michael Cheek, tied with the goal away at Scunthorpe, one of the easiest goals he'll ever score. It was put on a plate for him, a brilliant ball into the box from Bezok Topolodge, was headed across the face of goal by Omar Shomi. Michael Cheek was there to do what he does best and tap in his 15th goal of the season. And I think it's fair to say that equaliser was richly deserved, and actually it was Bromley then who were on top after that.
Yeah, I mean, he did have the ball in the net about 10, 15 minutes before that as well, but that was ruled out. But yeah, I'm pleased that he just did it again, didn't he? Yeah, didn't really let that faze him, and he just went up.
I think he's got the job. 10 goals in his last 16 matches, I think the stat was, which is absolutely fantastic.
But, funny story, and Alex knows this because he was here, but apparently a few weeks ago, Roy Oliver, and he said this, like, obviously we've got Roy like coming up, but he said this when we weren't recording. And he said that what did he say to Cheek? He said something before a game, didn't he?
Yeah, told them just keep believing.
Yeah.
And it will come.
That's what he said.
And it very much has.
So I'm not saying that it's all down to Roy. But
no, but the words of encouragement, definitely played a part.
Roy is a legend.
Yes.
In every sense of the word. And I would have no surprise if it did have an impact.
Yeah.
Because he's such a top man, Roy Oliver.
Cheeky's dad was there.
Yeah, we met Michael Cheek's dad, Mr. Cheek Senior, outside before the game, and he was telling us that he'd seen Michael bang in a hat trick at the Shea before for Braintree Town under Danny Cowley back in the day. And we said we were hoping for something tonight, and of course he did get his goal. So really pleased for him, and it's great to see that Michael's dad follows him, particularly on these long away trips as well. And I think Andy was. Sort of half and half at the end. He was very disappointed with the first half performance, Josh, but also acknowledged that towards the end we could have nicked it.
I think it was more if we hadn't have had to travel to Gateshead on Saturday. I think we would have been a little bit more fresh to play Halifax.
It's two tough trips in 4 days.
I think if we had a home game, we probably would have beaten them, especially in the second half. We were on top a bit like Gateshead, so
I think we had enough to do that. And let's talk about the fans, because 57 fans travelled to Halifax, exactly double that number, 114 travelled to Gateshead. And the stat that I keep saying is that's over 10% of the crowd.
Matt stats.
I don't have a jingle, do I?
No, I think we...
No. Is it the crickets? I think the crickets is probably my jingle, isn't it, really? But yeah, we had over 10% of the crowd was Bromley fans at Gateshead, which is quite something, given how far it is. And yeah, Halifax 57 on a Tuesday night. There were nearly 30 on the supporters' coach as well.
Which was upgraded.
It was upgraded to a very nice coach. Thank you to Anderson Travel for that nice little upgrade there. And people couldn't believe it when they got on. It was, yeah, brilliant. Travelled up in luxury.
Yeah.
And travelled back in luxury. Speaking of which, I got home at about 4:15 wow. on Wednesday morning and then was back in work.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're back in yeah. the office.
Well, back in the office.
Matt just slept here.
Something I probably could have done, I probably yeah. should have done. Something which we're going to come on to with Alex in a minute. There was a reason that we were in early on that day and something that that we were up to. But a good point on the road, I think, all things considered. I've only ever seen Bromley win at the Shay once. That was during the COVID, well, not the curtailed season, the season behind closed doors. And that was actually in the midst of a playoff run and was a really important 3 points. So who knows just how important that point could be. Moving on then, Tuesday night, Josh, you've been looking into, also had another reason it was, I'll say, a special night or an anniversary of some kind.
Yeah, it was 8 years to the day that we were crowned Conference South champions.
And what a day that was. I remember it well, telling everyone not to invade the pitch. And, yeah, I'm not going to say anything more after that. Nothing else happened. But
you can only do so much.
You can only do so much, absolutely. And what a day it was. That and Wembley 2022, the best of my memories in supporting Bromley. Absolutely incredible. A 3-0 win over Western Supermare on that day. And the trophy was lifted with a game to spare. And, yeah, absolutely incredible. Jack Holland was in that team. There were some other familiar faces and names in there as well for more recent Bromley supporters. And yeah, I just look back on that day with so much fondness and what was achieved across the club during, you know, some difficult times. So yeah, fair play. That is a really good stat. And that 8 years has absolutely flown by. Incredible. Does that take us to our next segment?
It does. Speaking of history.
It's Roy Remembers.
Roy, how are you doing today?
Very well, Josh, very well.
Right, let's start with two long away trips mm-hmm. that we've just recovered from. Obviously, Gateshead and Halifax. Yeah. You were on the supporters coach for both of those games and obviously in the away end. How would you sum up the past two games?
Exhausting. I can only imagine how the players felt, you know, going away up to Gateshead. Because every game is all about a preparation for a game. So they have all the preparation and they have to get up there early so they can sort of calm down, relax a bit before the match starts. So for supporters, it's equally stressful. You're going all that long way to Gateshead and then coming home and then buzzing away up to Yorkshire again to play Halifax. So great results. I think once we got over the initial part with Gateshead, they had two wide men. And I think once we sort of closed them down a bit more, I think we came more into the game. I think what I said, I think the first goal would be important, whoever gets it.
Yeah.
We'll probably go on and win it.
And it was us.
It was us, yeah. And I think really after that, we really controlled the game.
Yeah.
They were living in hope. Halifax was completely different because they controlled the ball for a long time. We couldn't seem to get into the game, get a foothold. And obviously they scored first. Obviously, the manager changed tactics in the second half. We brought on Kendall. And we started to be a bit more progressive. And at the end there, we were playing some nice football. If I had to be honest, both teams could have won it, but I think probably a draw was a fair result, and that at least we got a draw, and that pushes another point towards our goal.
And speaking of the supporters coach, obviously the next one is Oldham, which is next weekend, and the supporters coach is actually sold out, so we're going to be taking two. How important is that away support for the players?
I think it's very much appreciated, and I think you can imagine if we didn't go to these games, it would be total silence. It would just, the noise would be from the home supporters. So I think it is important that we go to away game supporters because it gives you a focal, and the players appreciate it, and I think it spurs them on, knowing that people have made that, as Andy said quite a few times. We pay our money and we go these long trips to away games, and the support is phenomenal. We'd like to have more going to the longer way trips. So hopefully next season we can drum up another 10 people on the coach, which enables us to run coaches.
Exactly. And then obviously on Saturday we're back at home against Chesterfield. As a supporter, how confident are you that we can win on Saturday?
I'm very confident because I always believe at home you have to start on the front foot. Because if you sit back, they start and they dominate and you find it very hard to get into the game, flow of the game. So I always think you start on that front foot and be pro going forward, like, you know,
yeah.
And make them think, do the thinking rather than us do the thinking.
Brilliant.
But I'm confident.
Yeah. So this morning you had... Well, this is recorded on a Thursday, so if you listen on a Friday, it's yesterday morning.
Yeah.
But this morning, we had our Ravens chat, and you're obviously a loyal member to our Ravens chat, but it was something a little bit different this morning. Can you explain what you enjoyed doing this morning?
Yeah, well, we had a guy come down from Biggin Hill. We've had one previous to that in the venue, but today's one was in Broomfield, and he was talking about... On the beaches at Dunkirk, the soldiers were complaining, where's the RAF? But they were there, but they were inland, trying to hold up the German advance on, because they'd already got a lot of the coast, Boulogne and all that, Calais. But so all our troops were hemmed in at Dunkirk, and they got over 330,000 off them beaches. A lot of ships were sunk. And a lot of men lost their lives as well. But without them, and of course, the RAF couldn't commit to every airfield doing that because they knew that possibly it was gonna, the war was going to escalate and they were going to come to Britain and start bombing it and all that. But yeah, it's very informative, very interesting. It should be taught in all schools. A few years ago, they asked... a classroom of children, oh, do you know about Churchill? And their response was, yes, we know that dog on the TV.
Do you know what? I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. It is a legendary dog, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
We're also sat with Alex Caroma, who is our Community Trust Operations Officer. And he was also down there this morning with the Ravens chat group. Alex, how important is the Ravens chat group to the club?
Very important. I would say that they play a big role, especially within a community sports trust, because it goes a long way. Roy's been a long supporter of Bromley, and I would say he's like maybe one of the pinnacles within the club, alongside Jim Brown and others that we do have. And yeah, like, it's lovely to see. I learn a lot from them, and they teach me quite a bit, especially things that I wouldn't have known from before. And yeah, the numbers continue to grow, so definitely doing something good there. And yeah, very positive outlook.
And what does the future hold for our Ravens chat group?
Oh, I think it's only going to be onwards and upwards. Would you agree, Roy?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, it's grown from a few supporters now, and I think we've got over 40 people.
Wow.
And we now we've got Rotary Club coming along. So yeah. That's really good.
So I remember when it first started, and there was a little table in the venue, and now you've moved into Broomfield, and it's a lot more... of a spacious environment. Obviously, you've got teas and coffees, and everyone just sort of mingles. And
it says a lot in itself because we've moved along to Broomfield, and it's not like you can tell that, oh, it's just a few people along. We're coming along to Broomfield, and we're filling Broomfield at the same time. So, yeah, definitely a good thing.
But there's still work to be done, I believe, because it's all about the community within the club.
Yeah.
And you've got to reach out to other groups, other people. And there's lots of people still... sitting in their front rooms alone and no communication. So it's about reaching out to these people and getting them to come along. And it's also so friendly.
Yeah, very friendly.
Very friendly.
They welcome me, so yeah, very friendly.
Yeah. I know you're always down there.
Yeah,
working away in the office and Alex is just down there.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to get my bedroom down here.
Okay, right. So this section is Roy remembers, so I think we should just go straight into it. Roy, what story have you got for us today?
Well, this is about, it's called the Berger Ishmael League Five-A-Side Championship at Wembley Arena on Thursday, 29th of November, 1979. I was there, and it was, we was in the first division at the time. We were top, actually, at that time. So it was 14 Premier sides that went in it, one from the first division top and one from the second division who were top. So Bromley were playing against a lot of good teams, you know, who had been well established in the Ishmael League at that time. So we played this tournament, and there was, where is it? Ah, we've got a bit of paper here. There were people like Jimmy Hill, Sandy Rouse, and Brian Moore there. And so it was called the Prince Philip Cup, and you could, it was a five-a-side, and you played like 5 minutes each way. And so the first round, we played Slough Town. And all the four teams that we played had all been good teams in the top half of the league. So we played Slough, Barking, Enfield were always good, and finally Wycombe Wanderers. So we played Slough and we won 2-1. And Parsons actually scored for both sides with Jeff Parsons. And he won the award for the player of the tournament. And then we got drawn against Barking second round and we drew 1-1. But we won on penalties 2-1. So we're getting very intense now. I mean, I think we had one coach here, but like Enfield, Wickham, Barking, Slough and other teams probably had two or three. One of the things what I always remember about it was we shouted so much that we all lost our voices. And we played at Leytonstone away the next match and no one could shout because we all lost their voices.
Wow.
But it was an incredible evening, and then so we beat Barking, and then we played Enfield, and we're all going, oh no, we're going to lose this. Yeah. And where are we? Yeah, so it was 0-0. And then we won 2-1 again on penalties,
wow,
which was incredible.
That
was so
tense.
Very tense.
Yeah, so, you know, to play all these top teams in the Premier, and we were top of the first division. We thought, incredible. And then to get to the final, and we're playing Wycombe Wanderers. And you can see how far Wycombe Wanderers have come over the last few years. They all made it to the championship last year.
Yeah.
So they've probably been one of the most successful teams over the years. And in fact, their old ground, which was called Lopes Park, was on the side of a hill. So if you can imagine, you put the ball on the top, it rolled all the way down. So they were used to playing on it. But we played them in the final. And we drew 2-2.
Oh.
So that went to penalties.
Again.
Yeah. No, we won on a sudden death playoff.
Oh, wow.
So we scored the last goal in the playoffs.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, and I've got the pages here of the news. It was like a non-league paper in them days.
Yeah.
And I've actually got it's called Ishmael News. So I've actually got a full one with the whole page is all intact.
Wow.
And you say Jeff Parsons won the player of the tournament and got his award from Brian Moore, Jimmy Hill and Stanley Rouse. Wow.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very tense run, though, isn't it?
100%,
yeah.
Win twice on penalties and then,
sudden death.
Gone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think I could take that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's give us a chance back in there to get to the final and actually win it.
And to beat Wickham as well.
Yes.
That's,
that's
brilliant.
Or beating Enfield as well, you know, it was
amazing
because they were like the Liverpool of the Ishmael League.
Yeah.
One. Everything in the 60s and 70s.
Wow. And the underdogs win again.
Exactly.
That's just it's just what we do.
Yeah.
Just what we do.
In the DNA.
Right. Yeah. So, without giving too much away, what have supporters got to look forward to for future Roy Remembers sections?
Oh, I've got lots of stuff at home. Old matches from the 1890s. There was the one where we played a friendly at Windsor and Eton, and they just spread the pitch with manure. So you just got to imagine, there's no showers in them days.
Yeah. No.
And they went down what they call, by a horse-drawn figure, called a brake. Mm. So I'm not going to too much know about that one.
That sounds like an interesting story.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Great. Yeah.
And I bet the smell was nice.
yeah. But they put it... I won't give too much more about that one.
To be continued.
Yeah, I've got lots more good stories, believe me, over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we can't wait to hear more. So, we will leave that one there. But thank you for joining us, Roy, as ever.
You're welcome.
And next time, Matt will be back, so it won't just be me. And thank you, Alex, as well, for joining us as well.
Anytime.
So,
yeah, thank you, Josh. Thank you, Alex.
Brilliant. Roy is just... unbelievable. He's a legend. I keep saying that word. I can't describe him in any other way.
He lifts my mood.
He is a total gentleman and such a pleasure to be around.
Yeah, when we stopped recording, we sat in here, me, Alex and Roy, for a good half an hour, 40 minutes, and he was just giving us life advice, and yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh, he is just brilliant. What a man he is, and how lucky we are to have him here on Raven's Chat every week with that fantastic segment, Roy Remembers. Let's move on now then, and we touched on supporters coach when we were talking about the two last away trips. There is, of course, one further away trip for the remainder of the scheduled league season, and that is what could potentially be a very important match away to Oldham Athletic next Saturday, the 29th of January. Don't forget, that's a 5:30 kickoff now, no longer 3 o'clock, 5:30. Now, the main news on that front is that we had laid on a supporters coach, of course, as we have done for all of the, 99% of the away games this season. And following Tuesday's draw at Halifax, I think we were at about 27 bookings out of 53. Overnight, coming the next morning, sold out. 53 seats gone. So the upshot of that is that we've decided, following popular demand, to run a second supporters coach. And you can book your space on that now, because I know a number of people have tried to book on the first one and were unable to, as it had filled up so quickly. So do book your space, bromleyfc.co.uk. Come to Oldham, back the boys. Let's make it another good away following. Get behind the team, push them to 3 points, and, of course, witness what might be a historic moment in the history of Bromley Football Club, Josh.
Yeah, and obviously if tomorrow's results mean that the Oldham trip, it is all dependent on that. Obviously, there's probably going to be a bit of a surge after the game as well of booking. So, yeah, probably the advice would be do it now.
Absolutely, because once that one sells out, I don't think we're going to be able to get any more. So do book your seat as soon as possible. I know some people are waiting, dependent on the result. I would advise to just get it booked, to be honest with you, because whatever happens... we're still in with a shout of getting into the playoffs, aren't we?
Yeah.
Whatever happens, whatever combination of results happen tomorrow, it's still alive. Yeah. So get up there and back the team. It's amazing that the coaches have sold out. And I've got no doubt people will be making their way up via other means as well. So should be able to look forward to a great level of away support on that day. Now, moving on. It's time for Community Corner.
Hang on.
Dum, 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 dum. Good on.
Oh, hey. Just makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
There we go. When
I
we
think
eventually
the dramatic effect is the dramatic pause was needed.
Needed
the dramatic pause, I think, has got people.
It wasn't intentional. It was,
you know,
but it can be now.
Just waiting to hear what's coming next.
Yeah.
On tenterhooks.
And what is coming next?
Well, what's coming next is Mr. Alex Caroma, Community Operations Officer at the Community Sports Trust. Alex, we've already said welcome back. Are you pleased to be here?
Yeah, of course. Always a pleasure.
You look
always a pleasure.
Very happy to be here, and we're very happy to have you here as well. So, Alex, just to recap, we touched on it on last week's episode, actually. It's been a very, it's always a very busy time, isn't it, for the Community Trust?
Yeah.
But the last couple of weeks especially, do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so we had our soccer camp. Second week, we welcomed the HAF camp, which is obviously joint with Bromley Council, the Bromley Children and Families Forum. Quite successful, actually. We had over 150 kids within that second week. In the first week, we had our just...
That's per day, isn't
per
it?
Day. Well? Yeah. Per day, yeah. Yeah, oh, honestly. But we handled it. We always handle it. Kids always have fun. We just look to carry on, boost the numbers. And then, obviously, we have our girls' development. Their provisions, they're growing as well. So, yeah, we just look forward to their half-term in... summer half-term?
It's May, yeah, the summer half-term. Yeah, end of May to the first week of June.
Yeah.
We're back here for another 4 days because there's another bank holiday. There are three bank holidays
in May. Yeah.
Three bank holidays. Yeah. So just recapping, what is a day like in the Bromley FC HAF camp for these children who are on free school meals and come here not only needing the physical activity in terms of the football, what else is there for them?
So there's quite a bit on for them. So they come in, their day starts at 10. All the way through till three. They have lunch, which is around like 12. And then obviously we had Coach Stewart, Big Stew, got a big up Big Stew.
Big Stew is his name here.
Yeah. He's put on multi-sport sessions for them. So it's not just the football, we're just giving them quite a bit, giving them the chance to pick what they want to do, because obviously some come along, they might not want to play football specifically. So then the fact that we give them multi-sports, to give them the choice to pick what they want to do. Yeah, just... Let them be free when they're here. We also had science sessions on for them as well, which was organised by the council, where they come, they learn about nutrition, how to stay healthy, playing their sports, and what to eat to keep them on the right path. And yeah, it was quite informative for them. I stayed around for a bit, got a glance of what was going on in there. And yeah, no, very good provision to have on.
And obviously the main thing about the lunch is it's a hot, nutritious meal. And very sadly, some of these children, that's the only
meal that they'll get.
Yeah. Yeah. So how important it is for us to be there for them.
100%. And also, we did give them those baking kits for them to go home and make themselves.
The take and make kits, courtesy of the Mayor for London's fund, which is brilliant. So they're going to be making cinnamon and apple
cakes. Yeah, that's what it was.
And they all got another gift, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did Cheeky's on fire. We gave them some T-shirts. Yeah, and he is on fire, to be fair. Yeah, they loved it. They did love it, to be fair. And we gave them some of the Wembley shirts that we did have. And yeah... No, it's very nice. Hopefully get them back, have them wearing it. Some of them, when we gave it to them on their first day, they wore it for the rest of the week.
Brilliant.
Goes to show.
Brilliant, yeah. Nice. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible work, Alex and the team. It's something we're really, really proud of. And you know, when you walk around during that last week, walk around the site, it's just a hive of activity, isn't it?
Yeah.
From 4 years to 16 years, every pitch was taken.
Yeah.
Every pitch was full.
Yeah.
There were coaches everywhere. It's just, it's what we do.
It's what we do. It's what we do, yeah. Lovely to see.
It really is. And of course, there's been some other things going on, and we talked about getting in early on Wednesday because we had a
special visitor.
We're going to get on to those in a minute, but we had Claire Phillips from Home Instead.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that. I was there with you, but you'll tell it
in a minute. So Claire came in. They work on dementia awareness. So she came to give us just an insight on how to deal with dementia. She did make it quite clear that she might not have the exact training to make us deal with it specifically, but it helps us to be aware and learn how to deal with someone that has dementia. And if we ever have to be in that predicament, then we can know how to deal with them better, which is, I think, is a vital thing to know, especially because we have projects on like Sporting Memories, we have Raven's Chat, and we have those kind of people that come in. And they're a big part of us at the end of the day. So, just to know how to support them, because support is key, and just give them the tools that they need in order to just be themselves when they come with us. It's perfect.
And another excellent angle on that is we are dedicating tomorrow's match against Chesterfield at Hayes Lane to raising dementia awareness.
Yeah.
And Claire and her team at Home Instead are sponsoring the match, and they're really making the most of their sponsorship, which is amazing to see. They're bringing along 20 individuals who suffer from dementia to watch the game. They are going to be putting up signage in different parts of the ground, which will make it easier for people with dementia to access the stadium and to make their way around. And the mayor of Bromley is also going to be in attendance, sitting with these people, which is incredible. It's all going to be in the match day programme tomorrow. You can read all about it there. And it's brilliant to be able to to have those kind of initiatives on a match day, isn't it?
100%, yeah. And then the mayor of Bromley, we're not new to her anyway, she does come along and...
She's brilliant.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, very supportive. And yeah, no, like I say, it's great to have the provisions that we have here and the support that we do for the people that come to the club.
We were also delighted to have a visit from Ian Watmore earlier this week, who is the former CEO of the FA and chairman of the ECB, and also spent a high amount of time working at the top level of parliament in this country. And he is very well associated with Altrincham FC, which is where his son, Duncan Watmore, rose to fame. And he's now playing for Millwall in the Championship. So Ian was down in Bromley where he grew up. He now lives up in Altrincham, but he grew up in Bromley, and he came back to see how the club had developed, and we gave him a tour and took him round, and it was such a pleasure to meet Ian, such a gentleman, and the experience from his time at the FA. He talked about meeting Arsene Wenger and meeting Sir Alex Ferguson and understanding their coaching philosophies, and it was just incredible to be able to listen to his experience. We took him around the entire site. He visited the academy. He met Tom Beaumont, the director of academy and education. He met a range of club staff. Alex, he came and spoke to the community team as well.
He did, yeah.
He did great.
Great, great thing. Even though he did tell me off for supporting United, but yeah, I think we digressed from
but
that anyway.
You redeemed yourself when you said that you also support Bromley.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and also I did mention that I've been to the Den more times than I've been to Old Trafford. I think he was pleased with that.
He did see me. I have to say as well, actually, he is also a football commentator.
Yeah.
And he commentates on Altrincham matches. And he commentated on a match between Altrincham and Bromley in 2020, which I was at, and this came about when we were showing Ian the gym and Jack Holland walked in, and it then transpired through this conversation that Jack was playing for Bromley that night and Ian was commentating on it, and Ian remembered Jack. And it's just, football's such a small world. And we also sat down with Andy Woodman with Ian, and they were talking about their two sons. Of course, Freddie and Duncan have played together over the years and have played against each other, including last week. The week before Ian visited, Preston played Millwall. Football's just such a small world.
Honestly.
And we've had a lovely email from Ian as well afterwards, just speaking such high volumes of the club. It's wonderful to see. And big thank you to everyone who was present on that day here at the club to welcome Ian. And he visited our sporting memory session, which he absolutely loved. And it's great to see the numbers, Alex, in those activities growing. A lot of people might think it's just a kids' soccer school, the community scheme. Couldn't be further from the truth.
No, not at all. We're expanding everywhere in all aspects that we do. And like you said, those numbers in sporting memories have been grown from what, 15 maybe in the first session? Now we're getting over 30.
We are. And if you want to find out more about any of our community projects, you can visit our community website, which is bromleyfc.org. You can navigate to that from the main club website, bromleyfc.co.uk, as well. Well, that's a brilliant community corner. And actually, just before we finish, Alex, we've gone back into schools this week because it's the summer term now. Yeah. How has that been?
Oh, it's been good. It's been a good week, first week back. Numbers are still increasing. I think we might even have a sellout if we're lucky.
It's brilliant to see. And just to paint everyone a picture, we're in, 7-8 schools a week, delivering after-school clubs, lunchtime clubs. Those plans are progressing as well to further support that we can offer schools. And it's just brilliant to see. And what I particularly like is you go to these clubs now and you see kids in Bromley shirts.
Yeah.
Whereas before, a few years back, that wouldn't be happening.
No, I wouldn't have known.
And it's the same with the soccer camps. Yeah. They're buying the shirts here, or they've got their Bromley shirts from a few years ago and they're proudly wearing them.
100%, because we're on the up, mate. We're on the up.
We really are, aren't we?
It's what we do.
Josh is just nodding and smiling at this point.
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation.
You are enjoying the conversation. Yeah. You look
I'm
thrilled.
I'm an observer.
You are an observer. But you're about to become not an observer, because I think that's the end of Community Corner, unless there's anything you'd like to say, Alex.
Actually, one more thing.
Go on.
Alex, score prediction for tomorrow.
3-0.
3-0 to Bromley.
So Bromley, we're going to do it.
Okay.
If they do nick one, now let's go 3-1. They'll score one.
Yeah, I think.
Well, typically, Alex, it has been a high-scoring game. It's
3-2 to Chesterfield
at the Technique Stadium this season. 4-2 to Bromley here at Hayes Lane towards the end of last season. And 3-3. I've seen a 3-3 here at Hayes Lane between the two sides. So, Alex, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, actually.
Yeah.
But, Josh, moving on to this game tomorrow, it is massive.
Yeah, it's a little bit big.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Big.
It's massive.
compared to your standard game, it's...
It's not a standard game. Many people might have seen it as being a standard game a few weeks ago, yeah, but it's anything but now. And let's not forget, Chesterfield come into this one off the back of a very impressive win. It was 5-1 against Torquay United, wasn't it? Which is absolutely outstanding. And they, of course, beat Bromley at the Technique Stadium, as we mentioned there, 3-2 early this season. They currently sit third in the Vanarama National League on 81 points. And they are now looking to cement that third place finish. They are 5 points ahead of Woking, but Woking do have a game in hand. Mm. So a win would, for them, would seal cement that third place.
Yeah,
they're going to be up for it.
Yeah,
they will be, 100%.
Yeah,
but we will be as well.
Yeah, we both got something to play for, and I think how we've played against Boreham Wood, Wrexham, Notts County over the past couple of months, I think we'll be up for it as well.
Just to paint a picture, Chesterfield are in third place. The next team above them, Notts County, are 22 points ahead.
Wow.
22 points. And Wrexham are 26 points ahead.
Like, I know people keep saying Wrexham and Notts are going to go up. And, yeah, it's probably likely. But how gutted would you be as a Notts County fan if...
You didn't.
Like, say if we scrape it.
Yeah.
Or easily, hopefully us. But if we scrape it and win the playoffs...
Literally.
No, if you're a Notts County fan, you'd be fuming.
Incredible.
Oh, that's football.
That is football, and it's been known to happen.
Yeah.
I remember in the Conference South days, Dover Athletic at the time scraped into the playoffs on the last day of the season in injury time in some ridiculous game. And just about got into the playoffs. I think it was on goal difference.
Yeah.
And ended up going up.
Man. So the National just, like that. Just like that.
Of course, they've gone back down now, but the point still remains the same. But of course, Bromley are currently occupying that last playoff spot in seventh place on 67 points. That's 2 points below sixth place Boreham Wood, who have a game in hand, and 2 points above Eastleigh, who have played the same amount of games. 4 points ahead of Southend United, who occupy ninth spot. So a positive result tomorrow is important, but whatever happens, Bromley are currently in the driving seat.
Yeah.
Whatever happens tomorrow, Bromley are still in with a shout of getting in the playoffs on the final day. If Bromley win tomorrow, driving seat confirmed, basically.
Yeah, if we scrape a 1-0 win last minute, scrappy goal, own goal, easily win 8-0, doesn't matter.
And of course, it all depends how... like you say, how easily get on as well. They're playing Solihull Moors at the Silver Lake Stadium. So I think there'll be a few Solihull fans in the crowd here tomorrow as well, and they'll be hoping they play a bit better at the Silver Lake than they did at Hayes Lake.
We have some local Solihull fans, don't we?
We do.
I think we do, actually.
We do, yeah. I think we do. I've been on the high street, seen someone in a Solihull Moors hat.
Yeah, because I remember last year, we were handing out flyers. I was dressed as a Raven. Thank you, Matt and Jeff, for... giving me that opportunity.
Thank you, Josh.
That was a very, very good opportunity. And the worst bit about it was coming back to the club, taking the head off, and people going, "Oh, it's you that does it." And I was like,
yeah, no,
no, it's not me.
No.
It's you. You do a lot on a match day, to be
it's
fair.
Not me.
Almost as much as me.
Anyway,
yeah.
So we were walking through the town centre, handing out flyers, you know, saying hello to the locals, and we walked past. And there was a guy with a Solihull hat on.
Literally.
And we were promoting the Solihull game.
Game, yeah. So
I
ironic.
I couldn't believe it.
So ironic.
I was like, that is so
weird.
Was
it pie, mash and pint for a tenner that day?
It was, yeah.
It was. Oh, I love a bit of pie mash.
It was.
There we go. Anyway, it's going to be, look, just get down here and support the team tomorrow. It's massive.
Yeah.
And they're going to need all your support. And that goes for tomorrow at home to Chesterfield and away to Oldham Athletic next week. It's going to be massive. And don't forget the awards evening, Tuesday the 25th of April. You can still book your spaces for that on bromleyfc.co.uk. You can have dinner. You can have a player sit on your table. Of course, that comes at a price. You can book your place on the website for that. Similarly, there are unreserved seating and standing places available that do not include food or players on your table. But really looking forward to that as well on Tuesday. And of course, we've got our second instalment of our community quiz next Thursday, the 27th of April. You can book your place again for that, bromleyfc.co.uk. come along and join us. The first quiz night was brilliant, and we're really looking forward to this next one as well.
Yeah.
Have we missed anything?
We have, yeah.
Oh, go on.
The gaffer. We've missed the gaffer.
Oh, no. We've gone all the way. Well, mind you, we're saving the best
till
last.
To be fair, Matt, I usually print off a little running order, and today is just flown by. And I said, to save printing, and I will just let you know how it's going to go. That's and right. Obviously, we've forgotten. Well, you've forgotten. I remembered.
You didn't tell me. No. All right. But anyway, let's just say we're saving the best till last.
We are.
Here is Andy Woodman.
Let's start with the Broomfields cocktails. I have some news for you, and that is there will be no Andy Woodman inspired cocktails.
Thank you. So, obviously, being teetotal like I am, I'm very pleased about that.
Well, I mean, the Woody hot dog is still a crowd pleaser. So.
Well, listen, it's about all it has been is a crowd pleaser. Let's leave it there. That's too easy to get a gag out of that one, Josh. But the Woody hot dog's always been known to be a very, very big crowd pleaser.
I think we've repeated already.
It gets better each week. Brilliant. I think everyone knows now that I'm not teetotal, but I haven't repeated my antics of last week today. So I'm fully on it. I'm ready to go.
Until we win tomorrow and then...
On it.
There you go. Right, anyway, let's look back on the two away games that we've just had. How would you sum that up?
Difficult. Two really tough games. Long journeys, you know. Despite what anyone thinks, it's a long way away and it's tough. Gates said we played very well there, I felt. They're a really good team, Gates said, really good team. They set up well, they move the ball well, they play through the lines, they pull you about. And if they pull you about, then they're going to hurt you. And we was very disciplined in what we prepped and prepared. And we looked at, you know, the detail of when they concede most of their goals and how they concede them. So we knew that we had to just stay in the game as best we could for 60 minutes and try frustrate them. And I felt we did that. And then we started hurting them a little bit. We took our chances. So I was really chuffed at that. Three really good goals. Really good team performance, and I thought we looked very good on the day and we was good value for it.
And how are the lads feeling this week? Obviously, it's hard not to get carried away with the position that we're in. But
yeah, well, we can't do. I mean, we went to Halifax in the week. That was, another tough trip, long way away. And we started like, you know, a team that was a little bit sluggish at the beginning. That said, I thought Halifax were very good. They made the pitch wide and used the size of the pitch to their advantage and stretched us. And we couldn't lay a glove on them the first half. I wanted to change the shape a little bit during that first half, but I'm always nervous doing that because if you change your shape and it just gets across at the wrong time, the message, you can get undone. And I just didn't feel that we could afford to go two goals down there. So I was kind of relieved getting it 1-0. Tweaked a few things, give a few pointers out, and second half, I thought we were good for it. Second half, I thought we was unlucky not to get the 3 points. But again, a good point on the road, a very important point. So that was that. And then like you said, we haven't got carried away. We haven't achieved anything yet, so we've got nothing to get carried away for. It's in our hands, that's lovely. But let's look at the games we've got coming up. We've got two really tough games. Which I think suits us, I have to be honest. I'd much sooner have these games than, with respect, a team down the bottom fighting for their life. So no one's got carried away. No one's really got above their station or got gassed, as we call it. Everyone's pretty much knows the job in hand and it's in our hands. And we've got to do our bit on the pitch in the next two games.
And Chesterfield still need to cement that third place, so... They'll be well up for it tomorrow. How do you assess Chesterfield?
Look, Chesterfield are a big club, aren't they? Let's be honest. They're a massive club. You know, they've got riches that we haven't got. And I have to point that out because that's fact. It's not because I'm trying to cry it in that they're a bigger club and more money. But that's factual. You know, they've got players on, a bigger squad and players that are more gettable than we can get. for various reasons, and they've got a manager, you know, with respect. Paul Cook's been around. He knows the game, so he knows how to set a team up, and he's got them firing. So, you know, fair play to them. They went out and brought, you know, a couple of players in the window or the little period, you know, the forward, Dallas, McCallum they brought, and then Cowcliffe. So they've gone and strengthened, and that hasn't been cheap. Three quality players to add to their already quality squad. So we know it's a tough game. There is no easy games. But I have to remind everybody, you know, we've had Wrexham here, we've had Notts County here, we've had a lot of big teams here, and we've managed to go about our business and do what we do and get results. And it'll be no different tomorrow. We won't sort of we'll show them the respect they deserve as a big club, but we'll make sure we take care of our business.
And you touched on Paul Cook there, obviously a manager with vast Football League experience and success. What do you make of the job he's done since returning to Chesterfield?
He's done a great job, Paul. He's a nice man. He knows it. Listen, he knows football like no one's business. You know, he's worked around these levels, you know, not so much this nationally, but the levels above. So he knows the sort of pedigree of player that he needs to bring into his squad and what he needs to get out of them. And he's in a fortunate position that he's got, you know, money to do that. He's done it well. So fair play to him. I've got nothing but respect for him, for Chesterfield Football Club. I think they're a really fantastic club, a well-run club and a lovely stadium and good players. I'm looking forward to the game. So I always like to pit ourselves against the so-called better teams and bigger clubs because nothing's expected of us, so we just go about our business. And I think to date, no one's really sort of mentioned us in any way, shape, or form, and that's brilliant. I love that. So that suits us down to the ground.
Well, it's going to be two sides who are in fantastic form going into tomorrow. How have the boys been this week?
Good. We got home very late. There's no doubt about that. After the game at Halifax. So that is what it is. You know, every team has to have a long journey and a bit of travelling. And we've rested up and we've now done our work. And, we're all good, ready to go. Everyone's in good spirits and good shape. We know the job in hand. We've just now got to execute it. And it's the exciting bit now, I always think, Matt. It's the calm before the storm, the sort of anticipation. Everyone's waiting what's going to be delivered on the pitch. I think we know one thing, that we've got a team that will give it everything. And I say it all the time, I'm immensely proud of the DNA of the team I've put together, that really don't know when they're beat and will give everything to the last minute. We've just got to make sure we're disciplined in everything we do tomorrow.
We know you've enjoyed getting to know this person a little bit. Barry Evans has been supporting Bromley for over 70 years. Him and his wife are moving down to Cornwall very soon. And although he'll be returning on the occasion, this will be his last game for a while. And I know he's someone that you've enjoyed chatting to and someone we're going to give a very nice send-off to tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't know Barry, his knowledge of this football club and his history of this football club is phenomenal. He's told me some lovely stories and more importantly, he's a lovely human being, a really lovely gentleman. And I hope he doesn't take this the wrong way. He reminds me of my grandfather a little bit. His manners are impeccable. He's an absolute gentleman of a man. Always wears a tie and a shirt. Looks immaculate. And he conducts himself in such a lovely way that I enjoy being in his company. I think he deserves a send-off. He's going down to Cornwall. I won't say, I hope his wife's not listening. He's a bit reluctant to go, I think. So he said he'll come up. He was a really lovely man. I've got a little surprise for him tomorrow that we may let people know after, maybe.
Potentially.
Yeah. So we've got our own little surprise, myself and the players, for him. He's a fantastic human being and really what Bromley's about, in my opinion. You know, him and... There's many of those Ravens chat group that come on a Thursday and they really epitomise everything about this football club, really the history and the togetherness and the community spirit. I've enjoyed Barry's company immensely and he'll be missed. And I will keep in touch with him. I have no doubt about that. I will drop him a message and an odd call just to make sure he still feels a part of the club, because I think it's important. You know, it's important to recognise these people that they're a big part of your DNA of a football club. So I will make a real effort to keep in touch with Barry, like I have done at many people, many other clubs. It's just they're people you meet on your journey, and you know they're good people. And I'd like to wish him and his wife and all his family a really, you know, nice move, and hope they enjoy their time in Cornwall.
Well, very nicely put. And just finally, on the supporters front, obviously home game tomorrow, support is really vital. And already for the Oldham game, the first supporters coach has sold out. So we've now got another supporters coach going. You can see the excitement is building, can't you? And the support now is as important as ever.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't stress that enough. You know, if you're a Bromley diehard, you're going to be here. If you're a Bromley local, come down. If you're a Millwall or Palace fan and you've got nothing on, come down. And we're going to need everybody, because it's about, you know, I think anyone that supports a club away from Bromley in the higher leagues, you've got to have an interest in your local non-league club. I think that's now become quite fashionable in a lot of areas. So let's come down and see what we're doing. You know, we've done some good things here over the last few years, and you know, hopefully we can get this club into the playoffs again, set another little bit of history, the highest ever points, you know, finish for a season in the National League, and hopefully get them in the playoffs, and then who knows, hopefully we might see you at Wembley as a finale. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with thinking like that. Some people might think, oh, hang on a minute, one thing at a time. Well, look, we dare to dream sometimes. And I always have a saying in my family, dream big, you know. And if you don't dream big, you're never going to achieve nothing. And we've prepped and we're ready. And we've got to make sure that that's our goal. Now, that was always our target. So we've got to make sure we still hit it. We're on target. And I always dream big and reach for the sky. So I want the fans to have that same feeling as I do. Football's football, you know, it'll be what it'll be at the end of it, but we'll give it everything to make sure that we can get this football club into the playoffs, and then the next part of the plan is to get out of this league.
Always a pleasure catching up, Andy. Thanks so much, and sincerely, best of luck for remaining games.
Thanks as always for your support.
Honestly, we just have such a laugh with Andy doing these interviews.
He is good.
He is fantastic when he sits
and
down.
And actually, when you were off doing what you usually
doing,
do on
doing
the
work, actual work.
And me and Andy were sat here. Andy was sat in his seat, and I was setting up. And he was on his phone. I was like, oh, "What's he doing?" And then he went, "Josh, can you be in my Be Real?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course I can."
See, I didn't even know what that was.
So, well, I don't have it myself, but I felt
apparently you have to. It sends you a notification, and you have to take a picture wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and upload it. Is that right? Alex is nodding at me.
Yeah, apparently so.
So he took a picture of you.
Yeah.
Sat here.
I was sticking
in the
my thumbs
FC
up.
Media suite.
Yeah, in front of the green screen, I was like, sticking
my
thumbs
up. Thumbs
up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet that made you feel very special, Josh.
It did, yeah. It did brighten my day a little bit.
Good. I thought I brightened your day being on the podcast.
Oh, here we go.
Honestly.
Here we go.
You know, you just don't get any compassion from your co-host these days.
Sorry.
Seriously. But anyway, Josh, very impressive stuff, I must say. You've got a few you've got a few bits from the Academy and Youth Academy to bring us.
I have. So, obviously, we've had an Easter break. So, the Academy and Youth Academy have been enjoying those Easter time off, and our JPL side came back on Saturday, and there were three games, and our under 13s won 8-0, and our under 15s won 9-0, and then it was 2-2 for our under 16s. But that is a lot of goals in
That's
three
a lot
games
of goals and very impressive results.
Yeah,
brilliant.
But just want to say, get well soon to Zach, who plays for our under 15s. He had a bit of an injury on Saturday, which means that he won't be playing for the rest of the season. So hopefully speedy recovery, and
best
see him back
Zach.
Soon.
Yeah, best wishes. And we hope you are back on the pitch very soon. Now, this time, we've finished now, haven't we? We've not got anything else to say.
One more thing.
Oh.
No, it's good.
Oh, it's good. Go on.
Barry Evans.
Oh, my goodness. What a legend. I feel like I'm overusing that word, but he is.
He is.
You heard in Andy's interview just how well loved Barry is at the football club. Now, we can't say too much, as we said in Andy's interview, but there is going to be some things going on for Barry tomorrow to give him a really lovely send off. And for those of you that know Barry, he's not going forever, He's moving down to Cornwall, and he will be making the occasional return to Hayes Lane. But of course, as a season ticket holder now, he is at the Lane every week.
Yeah.
And he's been a Bromley fan for over 70 years, which is incredible. And his son Nick, who lives in America, has come over for the Chesterfield game. Nick is a long-term Bromley fan as well. And he is currently in the country. He's going to be taking in all the action tomorrow with his dad as Bromley take on Chesterfield at Hayes Lane. And Barry is just such a lovely guy, and we're really going to miss having him around. He comes to Ravens Chat on a Thursday as well. He is the most impeccably dressed top gentleman. And Andy said it in his interview as well. He's always got a Bromley tie on. Just a real legend of Bromley Football Club. And Barry, thank you for everything. Just absolutely lost for words, really. He's a top gentleman. And Barry, enjoy Cornwall. And we look forward to seeing you again when you decide to make your next visit up to Hayes Lane. And we hope that won't be too far away.
And he's got a 2-page spread in the programme as well. We did a little interview with him. So
that's lovely.
He's reliving some of his stories.
Some of his many stories.
Yeah. Many,
many Bromley memories from over 70 years of watching the club.
77 years.
He's like a catalogue. It's got all the info.
Wow. Incredible.
But anyway, best of luck to Barry on your move to Cornwall. We hope you are happy with your wife and your family down in Cornwall. And like I say, look forward to seeing you at Hayes Lane at some point next season. Hopefully we'll catch up with him again very soon as well. Now, Josh, for the third time, are we done here? Oh, you don't sound convinced.
I think we are, yeah.
Are you just trying to drag it out here?
I am, yeah.
All right, let's move on from that.
Josh, you did say it was going to be a short one.
I did.
I don't actually think it is that short.
But it can't be as long as last week's.
We're recording this 5 o'clock on a Friday, and I think we just, you know, just let it flow a bit more than usual.
Chilled Friday vibes.
Yeah. So, whereas usually we're in first thing in the morning, right, let's get it done. And it's usually quite, you know, structured, whereas now.
Just go with the flow,
yeah,
man.
That's what we've got to do.
The Zen.
Yeah. That's it. Well, anyway, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me on here.
A pleasure. Josh Tindall, thank you.
It's all right.
And thank you to all of you tuning in and listening to us. We hope you enjoyed this week's instalment. And we'll be back for more next week, of course, when the playoff picture will be a lot clearer. This time next week, Josh, we'll be preparing for Oldham. Whatever happens, we'll be preparing. Best of luck to the team.
Come on, Bromley.
Come and get behind the team. Thank you so much once again, and we'll see you again soon.
Come on, Bromley.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.